Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks Podcast. This is Rod Stuckey here with me, Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Happy to be here and looking forward to this podcast today where we're going to cover some interesting posts from our T3 Facebook group, including Tesla will no longer sell the lifetime FSD subscription after February 14th, how to charge a completely dead Tesla, How do you use Grok and cleaning the windshield camera and more? But first, for those who may be unfamiliar, Tori, tell us a little bit more about the T3 community.
Yeah, we've actually grown to over 310,000 members at this point. And here we are in January of 2026. So it's exciting for us to see that. And our group provides real-world tips and tricks that make owning a Tesla that much better. And we have a lot of majority of our members are current owners, but we do have a lot of prospective owners who are just checking things out. A lot of first-time owners asking questions, and that's what we love. We really appreciate that. We just have a passion for these cars. They're so much fun. But if you haven't joined our Facebook group yet, be sure you do. The link is on the screen, and it's also in the description of this video if you're not on Facebook already here. And I just want to note that we release our best content and tips and tricks on our YouTube channel. And we're really putting a push on to grow that. We're nearly to 2,000 subscribers, and we're kind of putting a push on to get to 10,000 subscribers there. And so that link is also on the screen and in the description as well.
Yeah, and just a shout out as well to our moderators, Sam and Kenneth and Tori. You know, you guys do an amazing job with this group. It's a lot of work to moderate a group with 310,000 people. So just want to give a shout out to those guys for all that it takes to
and don't
really
Doug,
goes in behind the scenes.
Our newest moderator, Doug. So
Doug just joining the team because, you know, I mean, people don't realize the behind the curtain what goes into it, and it's pretty cool to see how hard we work to keep the group clean and fun and positive. And so with that said, let's jump into our first post, Tori. This latest news, Tesla will stop selling FSD after February 14th. It will only be available as a monthly subscription thereafter. We got lots of varying opinions here. 188 comments on this post, 1.3 million views. Take us through this, some of these comments, Tori.
Yeah, so a lot of the comments are just saying, you know, it should have never been an all-out purchase. A lot of people saying the last thing I need is another monthly subscription. So it really goes back and forth. And so for me, if buying new and it cost $8,000, I don't think I would choose that option because it's, you know, you think of $800 and $100 a month, that's 80 months or, you know, 7 years basically that you have to have FSD before you get your money back. You'd have to be over, you know, or right at just before 7 years. So I've always been more of a subscription model kind of guy for this, but here's the thing. When I was looking for a pre-owned Tesla, I searched long and hard to try to find one that had FSD. Cause I'm like, if I can save $1,200 a year buying a used one where somebody else paid the $8,000, hey, that's a win-win. And so I do have a car with lifetime FSD on it. And so it is important to me now, but I think the main reason that this is happening, and that's where you kind of have to start is, well, why is Elon doing this? Well, I think that one of the primary reasons is he's found himself in a little bit of trouble in it just because he's promised lifetime full self-drive or even the full self-drive unsupervised, and he's having to upgrade all of these cars that have HW3 that bought lifetime FSD. And he's said as much that he would handle the upgrades on those cars in past conferences and posts online. And I think that he's looking at the writing on the wall and going, wow, at some point, you know, this just needs to be a subscription that you can cancel if you don't like the service, but that we don't have to consistently continue upgrading you from HW3 to HW4 to HW5. And then in the future, new things come out. And now we got to give all of these millions of cars or hundreds of thousands of cars, we got to give them, you know, HW6, and it's going to cost 10 grand for that computer system and camera. So I think that that is the big reason. But in the long run, I don't think that this impacts a lot of people, and I don't think it's very surprising either. Do you think that this was surprising, Rod?
Well, it's interesting because that's the business model perspective. And, you know, there's never been an automotive manufacturer that's created a business model where they have, you know, monthly recurring revenue. And that's obviously, you know, in the tech world, that's the business model that has created a many a billionaires. And so the idea of a monthly recurring revenue for a vehicle, you know, 10 years ago, even, that just seemed so unrealistic. But fast forward, and here we are, and you know, I'm just looking at some of the comments here, and there's a lot of people, you know, Tracy Roberts says, the last thing I need is another monthly subscription, geez, you know, and then people, you know, hey, this should cost $50 a month and I would sign up, you know. But I hadn't thought of it from the perspective you were just sharing, Tori, and that is a really good point. If you pay up front $8,000 and you have to accrue that over 7 years, but on year four, your hardware is outdated and now you're not getting the value of the latest full self-drive because you're on an older version of hardware. Now, you know, Elon's basically overcommitted because you're not getting the $99 a month value that I'm getting with my newer hardware. And so another factor, Tori, that I find kind of interesting is, as you and I saw, is this has wreaked havoc on the resale value appraisal, what the consumer thinks their used vehicle's worth and what the market thinks it's worth. Because no dealer out there, no CarMax or AutoNation or Kelley Blue Book or the legacy automotive manufacturers do not have the expertise to understand that this car basically comes with an additional asset tied to it that was valued at $8,000. They just look at the VIN number, and that VIN number is decoded into a trim package, and that trim package is then cross-referenced with the condition and the mileage, and here's your value. And that $8,000 is not considered in. And so it really has created a wild, wild west in the values of cars with FSD. And you were so astute, you took the time to hunt one down, and you got in on the good side of that. The seller, probably, who traded it in, you bought from a dealership, the seller probably came out on the bad side of that and has gone around telling his friends how terrible his Tesla was at holding its value.
Right. Yeah, but whoever traded in the Tesla, yeah, not right. The dealership. The dealership was indifferent. They didn't know, to your point.
They were oblivious.
And even when I called them, I'm like, hey, does this have, you know, lifetime FSD? And they said, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, yeah, there's FSD capable. And by the way, even if you go to Kelley Blue Book or you go to Carvana or these trade-in sites, that's what it asks you. Is it FSD capable? There is not even a choice to say, not only is it FSD capable, hardware 3 plus, it actually has a lifetime subscription. It's free. You don't have to pay $100 a month for this. So there is no value in the whole trade and buy cycle for a used Tesla like there really should be. It's a huge upgrade. It's like upgrading your wheels to the 24-inch supersonic lightweight wheels that cost $8,000, but then when you go to trade it in, there's not an option for that. When you really did increase the value of your car, there's just no system for the data to track that increase in value.
Yeah. Here's another interesting comment from Tom Goodbranson. I don't know how to pronounce that. He says, realistically, I use or need FSD 2 to 4 times per year, so I just sign up for that specific month and use it and then get out of it. And, you know, I'm addicted to my FSD. I feel like I'm the Jetsons living in the future, and I just use it everywhere I go. But it's not a contract. And that's just another reason why the $8,000 didn't make as much sense. If you have a specific use case, you can subscribe, and then you can cancel, and then you can resubscribe. So that's another good perspective for people who don't use it and aren't addicted to it like I am.
And you think about the value. That's funny on the business side, just to kind of my last thought on this. This is, if they've got 500,000 people paying $100 a month, they've got $50 million of profit, of revenue, not necessarily profit, because they are
monthly recurring revenue.
Yeah, $50 million or $600 million. There are many companies, the valuation of a company that has $50 million of monthly recurring revenue would be crazy high. And this is just an almost insignificant part of the value of Tesla. So it really is incredible and impressive what this model has done. And, you know, when they're doing it for heat, other OEMs have tried it for like heated seats and stuff like that. I don't get it.
That's what makes this so remarkable. Tori, it blows my mind, and it's so hard to understand that Tesla's value single-handedly is worth all of the legacy OEM manufacturers combined.
How is that possible?
Worth all of them combined. And you go, how? And you just outlined it right there. It's the continuity monthly recurring revenue business model, and you know the sale happens when value exceeds price, and every time I drive FSD, it seems like it gets better. You told me, you said, hey Rod, try to open your garage as you're pulling up and see if it'll pull in your driveway and in your garage. And I did it 2 days ago, and it pulled in. Not just in my driveway, and I live in a really new neighborhood, and so, you know, there's still construction going on, and, you know, maps are still figuring out roads and addresses. It pulled in my driveway and in my garage for me, and, you know, and there's other things. I mean, updates, not even FSD related, but this is a side note. I'm going off a little bit here, but this trunk thing where I stand behind my trunk now, and I get to the golf course, and I got my hands full of stuff, and then it beeps 3 times, and my trunk opens. Mm-hmm. Like, that is just so cool. It is a really cool feature for a golfer, and I can see, like, groceries and other things, not even related to FSD. I'm scope creeping, sorry. Can't help myself.
If they get to, I love that too, but if they get to 840,000 people who are subscribed to FSD, it's $1 billion in recurring annual revenue, it's just really incredible. So,
and to your point, Tori, you said profit, and it's not profit.
It's revenue.
It's revenue. But as you and I understand about the software business model, this is not like there is a cost of sale on that money, like manufacturing a car. There is not a cost for the steel
development
or the labor. This thing, it may not all be profit, but it's a lot of it is profit.
Because it's development, improvement, connectivity to the car, but just from the AI, the neural network, the learning. There are some hard costs, but to your point, it's very small.
Not like manufacturing cost of sales. All right, let's move on. Next post we're going to talk about, I'm here at a charging station and someone got their Model 3 towed here. The car is completely dead and can't get it to charge or do anything. What can he do? He's locked out. He does have the app.
So when the car dies completely, like the high-voltage battery, the high-voltage battery essentially is the generator for the 12-volt battery. And so just to make sure people understand this, the 12-volt battery runs the computer. It runs the headlights. It runs the opening and closing of the doors. So if there's no power to that 12-volt battery, and that 12-volt battery or 16-volt in the newer vehicle, same thing, the low-voltage battery. When the high-voltage battery dies, the low-voltage battery also dies pretty quickly. And so when you get towed to a supercharger to your home, or you have a wall charger, you can't get the wall charger, or excuse me, you can't get the charge port open. And, you know, it won't kickstart the car, like nothing will charge the car, even if you had it open. It's just sitting there, like it needs, the charger needs to get some data from the car to know to send the voltage to the battery. So nothing will happen, even if you could open the charge port. So what you have to do is, there's really two ways to go about it. You have to get voltage to the low voltage battery. The easiest way to do it is, every one of these cars, every Tesla, you'll find on the bumper, there is about the size of a silver dollar, for my older audience, who knows what that is, about this big. And if you push on one side, it pushes in and the tab pops out, and you can remove that. This is where you would screw in your tow hook. And there are two wires in there that'll be protected, like covered. If you uncover those and you hook them, you connect those to a 12-volt battery. And you go, well, I got to put a 12-volt battery out in front of the bumper. No, if somebody has jumper cables, they can run jumper cables to their battery. And then you can just tap it, just touch it to the positive and negative on the other side of the jumper cables. And then that will power the vehicle, and you can open the car door and you can charge the port. You can start the charging then. So you just have to hold it there. But one of these comments from Cedric, who actually did this post, is, he says, I figured it out. Thanks for the quick response. I had him hook his cable to another car, positive to positive, on his Tesla, and then hook the negative jumper cable to his radiator frame, which you really, if you're going that far, it means you're like removing the tub and you're having to get down to where the battery is, and you don't have to do that. Just go through that front little circle. Either way will work, but both of them provide power to the 12-volt battery system so that the car turns on. It still wouldn't drive, to be clear, because the high voltage battery is dead, but that allows you to get in there, access everything, and it allows the battery management system to communicate with the charger now that it can send current and charge the battery.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of shout outs here to Cedric for helping this this person out. You know, this is obviously one of the negatives of an electric vehicle, but I also just want to point out, this is pretty cool. You know, Cedric, this is exactly the goal of the Tesla Tips and Tricks page, you know, is to really bring value to the other members of the group. And, you know, Cedric posts this, and then, you know, immediately he says, thank you guys for the quick response, and God bless everyone, you know. And I just think it's really cool that Cedric was in a bind, and he thought of our group, and he came here, and it reaches 100,000 people, and 63 people come in here and make a comment trying to help these people out. And that's just pretty cool, Tori.
Yeah. And to your point, Elizabeth Craig posts here and just says, I love how helpful this community is to each other.
Yeah.
And there are people who, I understand you get tired of seeing the same questions. But at the end of the day, that you're right, that is what this community is for. And it's also why we try to guard against too much sarcasm. We're okay with some humor, but if somebody is just posting RTFM or RTM for read the manual, or is posting, why don't you Google that? We remove those, and we warn people that this community is the place where this is what we want to have happen. So you don't have to Google it. Try to find the right website to go to that you trust. You can trust real live people who own Teslas in our group.
Yep, that's right. All right, let's jump into our next post here. Oh, by the way, Tori, for those of you who have not been to our YouTube channel, Tori did a really good video on changing the 12-volt battery, and it ties in a little bit with this video, and it's really, really good video. So you guys, if you haven't been to our YouTube page, jump over there and check out Tori's video on changing your 12-volt battery, because it's...
And Rod, to that point, just real quick, sometimes if you've got an older battery and you run the high-voltage battery dead and it runs the 12-volt battery dead, it'll be at that point that the 12-volt battery will be like, all right, I'm done. So if you're hooking it up and nothing is happening, you at this point, there's a small percentage, but it could happen to where that was the end of the life cycle of the low voltage battery as well, and now you have to replace it. So it wasn't that the high voltage battery ruined it. it's just not good for any battery to die completely. And so if it's an older battery and it dies completely, it may, you might have to replace it. So that video does definitely come into play here.
Yep. Great. So let's move on. Our next post, 309 comments on this one. This is interesting to me. What do you use Grok for? So far, I have only asked for restaurants near me, but think there is so much more it can do. What a great post. 309 comments. Tori, before we jump into these comments, tell us, for those who don't know, how do we use Grok in the Tesla?
Yep. So you have to have the AMD processor, the Ryzen processor. If you have an Intel processor, you don't have Grok. Though I have heard that they have figured out a way to incorporate Grok into Intel. Might be coming in the future. I don't know. We'll see. But for now, if you do have a, I believe 2021 and newer, at some point in 2021, they all started pretty much coming with the AMD Ryzen processors. But your voice command button, if you press it once, it's your normal voice command. If you press and hold, it opens Grok. And then you can have conversations with Grok. I'll say from being useful, they've made an update here a few weeks ago that it now can interact with your car and change some settings. Like, for instance, it can adjust navigation. So if you had Grok up, you could say, I want to go to, you know, take me to the nearest Taco Bell, then take me to 123 Jack Street. And it would navigate to both of those. To where your voice command, it would take you to one of those. So I could say, take me to 123 Jack Street, or I could say, take me to the closest Taco Bell. What I couldn't do is have it do multiple. And Grok can now interface with the car and change the navigation settings. Or if you already had FSD active, and this happened to me, I was actually headed up to the Georgia World Congress Center for volleyball, and I wanted to swing by a Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, the way that I'm going, I don't know the best Chick-fil-A to do this. And so instead of having to go through the screen and try to add a stop, or, you know, in navigation and say, take me to the nearest Chick-fil-A, which could have been the opposite direction, the nearest one, I opened Grok and I just said, hey, I'm en route in navigation, but I do want to add a stop to Chick-fil-A. Take me to the one that's best. And it did. So that's a real useful functionality you can use for Grok, and more will be coming for that. Yeah. But now let's get into the more, what these comments say, the entertainment side. Jamie Slate has a great comment. I just love it. And this one will be near and dear to your heart too as well, Rod. But Jamie says that, you know, they adopted two girls when they were babies, and they both have severe FASD as a result of the biological mother's decisions. They look normal, but they're 15 and 16, but they're at the social level of 7 and 8. On the way to school, which is a 20-minute drive, I always ask Grok to tell them something awesome to get ready for the day. And Era, that's the name of the Grok voice, is always great and is inspiring to see them smile. As you can imagine, they have no friends at school, so Grok is a great way to start the day. I love that story.
Wow.
I love it.
That's amazing.
And then Lauren says, on my way to the grocery store, I knew I was picking up salmon for dinner, and I asked Grok for a few different options on preparing dinner. I received a lemon dill and an Asian teriyaki recommendation, along with an air fryer and cast iron skillet prep option. She asked me if I wanted ideas for sides, which I did, LOL, and I got a quick sesame broccoli and asparagus recipe recommendation. Out of those items,
I'm hungry.
I know.
This and is so good.
Added those items
I
to the grocery
list. I might be having salmon for dinner tonight.
Yep. I know. Don General says, I'm a pastor, so I use it for daily devotions and to tighten up some thoughts on future sermons. I also use it for NFL and NBA scores and news on firings and trades. I've used this just as a pastor. I've used it to help with just ideas on different kind of sermons and different verses. And I'm not going to let AI write my sermon. I don't believe in that. Or these LLMs, that's what Grok is. It's just a educated AI chat. And But it is very useful. I've used it as well for some business stuff on like, hey, what do you think about that? What are some ways that I could grow my business? And I have always been so impressed with what it comes up with. It's basically, this is Jules Thomas. Jules Thomas comment says, it's a professor of everything in your car. I talk to her for hours on long trips learning quantum computing and whatever else I want to learn. I do that too, Jules. I'll be like, hey, can you dumb this down to where I would understand it? And then the last comment I want to mention here, Dave, I thought this was great. Dave was stuck in traffic, barely moving due to road construction. He was getting bored. So he said, Grok, tell me a story. Grok replied, once upon a time, and told me a story that occupied the next 10 minutes. It was one that I'd never heard before. At the end, it said, would you like to hear another? I replied in the affirmative, and it told me another also new to me story. By the time the third story had finished, I had moved beyond the congestion and we were moving at highway speed. I haven't used it for stories, but I've been amazed at how a 45-minute trip can fly by just in talking ideas and stuff with Grok. So it is very entertaining and very smart because it has the whole internet at its fingertips. Now, I do want to point out, it may not be 100% accurate, just like a professor could make a mistake, right?
Yeah.
It is a professor, but just like a professor could make a mistake and say the wrong thing, you do want to just double check and make sure that Grok is right. But I have found it to be well in excess of 90% accurate.
Yeah. I want to encourage our listeners to go to our Facebook group and 309. We could sit here and talk for an hour. I mean, Stefan says, I used to be fluent in French in my younger years. After living in the U.S. for 40 years, I lost a lot of vocabulary. I now talk to Grok in French, and she is wonderfully patient with me, correcting my grammar and explaining words. It's actually amazing. I guess one month I'll be fluent in French again. Just so many great, great suggestions in here. And I played with Grok one time on the way to the golf course and asked it how to fix my slice. And it actually came back with a really, really good comments. But this has inspired me to want to play with Grok a little bit more. Great, great suggestions here from the group.
Yep, it's good stuff.
All right, let's move on. First-time Tesla owner, what did you wish you knew, or what do you wish someone would have told you when you got your first Tesla?
I just have to start off here with Paul Berbrick's comment. It's really good. He says, if it doesn't have already, one, PPF front end and rocker panels. So PPF is paint protection film. It is a clear film that you can't even see it. Like, you can't even tell it's on there. But the value of this, you know, the front of a Tesla has no radiator. And so it's all paint. Therefore, it gets more chips in the paint because there's no plastic and chrome. It's all paint. So the PPF protects the front end. When little rocks and stuff hit it, it would damage the PPF and not damage the paint. So,
and there's a lot of story that I was surprised my PPF guy didn't say that, because you had taught me that. He says the Tesla paint quality is not all that great is why it's so popular. Because I'm always like, why does everybody do this with their Tesla? So kind of two different schools of thought there.
I don't know that
on the PPF.
That's a good point. I've heard people say that, oh, the paint's not as good. But I mean, I can tell you, in all the cars that I've had through the years, I wouldn't say the Tesla is the worst on paint. We had a Nissan Armada that was horrible.
My paint seems good. So maybe that was something with the older Teslas.
Yeah, it could have been. I'm not saying that it never has been an issue. And it doesn't hurt, right? If the paint quality is not as good. But I haven't seen that be as big of an issue as some of the other cars I've owned. Now, it might not be as good, you know, like my wife's she's got a newer Tahoe. Somebody sideswiped her, and there is damage, and we're waiting on the traffic report and all that stuff. But I was amazed at, as I went through, a lot of it was just where it had transferred paint from the other person's car to this car. And I'm like, man, that's incredible. But I've had other Tahoes in the past where I didn't necessarily think that the paint quality was all that good, like nicks that probably shouldn't have happened. So I think that there is probably seasonality, the paint color, you know, there's people who will probably come in if you're in paint and body, and you could say, well, you know, if you have white pearl, it's softer and doesn't adhere as well as black or blue or red. I don't know the science behind that, but it's probably more than meets the eye. But yeah, PPF is number one here. Moving on. Number two, ceramic coat the whole car, including the wheels. And that's for a similar reason, so that you're not getting scratches. And this isn't he's not talking the ceramic coat where you like, you do the spray on wax and it labels ceramic. There's a lot of misleading people with that, because real ceramic coating adds a thick layer that is harder than paint. The spray and wax bottles that say ceramic are not the same thing as ceramic coating your car. So obviously that's good. Number three, tint windows, side and rear, as dark as you're legally allowed in your state. I love that in any car, but one of the reasons that you want to do that is because it just keeps the car cooler, because there's a lot of windows in a Tesla. The windows go all the way up to the top on most of the cars, and there's just a lot of window area. Therefore, the cars can be a little hotter in the summertime if you live in a hot area. And so tinting your windows is a great idea. Number four, install mud flaps and weather floor mats. If you drive a lot in rain or snow, I would say do the weather floor mats regardless. I think that just protecting the interior of the car and the carpet is a great idea, because it does get wear and tear. And then, you know, you could sell it with it, or if they're worn out, take it out. And now your carpet and your floor mats that were under it are brand new underneath. So I love that. And sometimes I do keep my mats in and put the all-weather floor mats over it, you know, so I don't have to store them. But number five, it says get Tesla to align tires and install a left stalk if you have a 2024 or 2025 and hate and can't use the turn signals. That is one thing that I'm not a fan of. I've gotten used to it, the turn signals on the steering wheel, but I have found that when I'm relaxing in the way that I'll hold my hand on the wheel, my palm activates a blinker. And so I'm just driving down the road, my blinker turns on, and I'm like, oh, we're supposed to turn here? Yeah, what's going on? I didn't have FSD on, and it was my hand. So I appreciate the stalk, and I think that they're probably going to go to that, you know, for all cars in the future. I think they're going to get away from the
my dad's 2026 Model Y, I notice, has the stalks. My 2025 X has the buttons, so it does look like maybe they're headed back that direction. I've gotten used to the buttons, but it's not been enough of an issue to me that I would go and get a stalk installed, but it does look to me like maybe that's where they're headed back to.
And if you want a stalk, Enhance Auto, you can save 10% by using the code Tesla Tips. But Enhance Auto, enhauto.com, has that available. We have an agreement with them where our members can save 10% off of purchases. So you can get a stalk and it just plugs in, and it's super easy to install. We have a video coming out in the near future about that. But then number six here is religiously and often check tire pressure to avoid premature tire wear. And I would say, even more importantly, you know, if you're supposed to have 32 PSI and you go to 27, not 5 PSI, it doesn't seem like a big difference, but it actually is a lot harder to spin the tire because there's more rubber and it's harder to roll, and therefore you lose range. You don't even realize you're losing range. So always stay right at the recommended tire pressure for range. And then I've got one more from DMAC. He kind of goes through some of the same things, but turn signal buttons aren't easy to use. Number two, handle the extra windshield protection before you leave. I have the ability to sign up. I'm not disqualified. He says that you get disqualified for anything later on, but I do think the windshield protection is a good idea. There's a lot of windshield, and therefore they're more expensive. Steering yokes are not good for one-handed driving. That's a good thing if you're going to upgrade and you have the choice between a round steering wheel and the yoke. I've never owned a Tesla with the yoke. I've driven one with the yoke, but not long-term. And, but I could see where one-handed driving with the yoke is frustrating. FSD is still in a learning curve. I've actually not experienced that, but he does have two number fours. The second number four is automatic wipers are too sensitive. That's true. That is true. the seals on the hatches and doors could be better, and you can get extra seals or better seals that you upgrade. What I've found on the 2025 that I've had loaned to me for a couple of months here is it's way quieter and the seals are way better than on my 2020. So I think the newer Teslas have got this better. And then service appointment finish times are always going long. And I've had that, but I've had both. I've had them finish early too. But on the plus side, loaners get free charging. This is a good tip. If you do have a loaner from the service center, supercharging is free. Home charging is not free, but supercharging is free. But they are governed to 85 miles an hour, which is not a good, I don't think that that's even worth mentioning, because how often do you want to drive more than 85 miles an hour? You know, hopefully not often. So, anything else that you wanted to cover here, Rod?
Well, Manny Johnson has one that resonates with me. FSD does not make your wife as excited as much as you.
That's me too. That's my wife. Oh, and Donald, there's one I wanted to mention here. Donald Rains, he says, I wish that I would have known to get my charging station set up at my house first. It just makes it so much more convenient and you appreciate the car more. I love that term, appreciating the car more. So when you charge at home to 75 or 80%, it's like you always have a pretty much full tank of gas. You never go to a supercharger. You never have to plan to stop unless you're on a longer trip. I haven't been to a supercharger. Even this is what's funny is I have had this loaner that has free supercharging, and I still don't go to the charging station because of just how convenient and easy it is and how much I appreciate the experience of owning the car, because I'm just always charging. Every time I go to my car, I have 80% battery.
Yeah. Yeah, there's 143 comments here, you know, there's some negative ones. You know, there's some people, unfortunately, that have bad experiences. I think, you know, my advice to a first-time Tesla owner is just become an enthusiast and, you know, participate in learning about the car, because even with us moderating this group, there's new things every day that come about. And the more you learn about the car, just the more, to me, the more enjoyable it becomes. And because you just, a lot of the things we covered here, kind of PPF and formats or mechanical, but there's so much with technology on the technology side of things to learn that you can do. You know, one of the comments in here, people recommend, you know, turning your battery from range mileage to battery percentage. You know, that's something that I've done. But there's small things, like, you know, when you go to charge, I didn't realize at first that there was a button that's so subtle on the charger to open your charge port. I was opening the charge port from inside the car. There's like four ways to do everything in your Tesla. You can use a voice. How many voice prompts are there, Tori, in your Tesla?
Oh, it's hundreds.
Yeah. I encourage people, like, I've never been a voice prompt guy because they've never worked good for me in other cars. But the voice prompts work pretty doggone good. And, I mean, you can ask your car to do anything with a voice prompt. So, you know, play around with all of the different ways. Sometimes you can do something on the app on your phone. You can do it with a voice prompt. You can do it with, you know, with your touchscreen in the vehicle. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways to do stuff. And sometimes you don't even realize it, but you're doing it the hard way, and there's an easier way to do it. So,
yep.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. This last post, interior windshield residue, schedule service for cleaning. Any easy trick to resolve it? Tori, for those that are listening and can't see the screen, take us through this little pop up notification, what we're looking at here for those who can't see it.
And I've got some good information on this one that I think will open people's minds as to why it's an issue now. But there is a forward facing camera on every Tesla that is behind your rearview mirror, and it faces forward through the windshield. So when you're cleaning your windshield, you cannot clean behind the plastic bevel of the rearview mirror. And so there is a camera inside of that you know, facing through the windshield, obviously. And this is a big reason why your auto windshields come on a lot. You're like, it's not even raining. Why did that come on? Well, the camera's picking up something. And it could just be something that is within the gasket area, protected, that you can't reach between the camera and the windshield. And so this is a 15-minute session. And so when you're looking through comments here, what you'll see is that you'll see people saying that that mobile mechanics, if you come out to get tire rotations from Tesla Mobile, if that's offered in your area, then they'll do it. So that's what Alan Barrier said, is the trick is just to schedule an appointment. They'll do a remote appointment in certain areas or the service center. This is literally a 15-minute thing. And that's a great comment there. Jeff Gilchrist said, they'll do it as a part of a tire rotation if you have them do that at your house or at actually the Tesla service center. So Dustin Kinney says, though, it is a 15-minute process if you do it yourself with YouTube. If you're paranoid like myself, they can come out and handle the cleaning for you. I didn't have to pay anything for the service, and it was done by the tech in 5 to 10 minutes. So is there an easy trick to resolve it? Yes, there are two easy tricks. Schedule a service appointment and they'll handle it for you. Or there are plenty of YouTube videos out there. If you have a hex wrench and you don't mind, if you're a do-it-yourself kind of guy, you can take off your rearview mirror, that whole assembly, and you can clean the windshield behind there and then put it back. So I've noticed in my current loaner, when I first got it, about a month in, it popped up and said, hey, schedule service for cleaning. And I'm like, oh, wow, there was a little spider web in the corner of the inside of the windshield and the camera assembly. And it didn't really impact much, but it noticed it. And I also noticed there was a haze on the windshield. And so I'm thinking, why is there a haze there? Well, you got to think they install this new windshield and they put that on there. There could be a little film left from just the manufacturing process or something, the installation process. So I could see where this needs to be done. There is one comment. Chris Burke says, it's odd so many people are getting this same prompt lately. Well, I have the answer to that, Rod and Chris. So this alert, this notification is new. So here's, this has blown my mind to think about this. Up until the end of last year, there was no notification that told you that the windshield was dirty and that the camera couldn't see very well for FSD. So this camera is primarily used for full self-drive, and it also dash cam records, of course, and for Sentry mode. But primarily, this is important because of FSD. And so imagine how many people have had worse issues with phantom braking or FSD isn't driving correctly, or there's issues there. And it was because the darn front-facing camera, the primary camera for looking forward, was dirty between the windshield and the camera, and there was no notification to let you know. So what's happened is this is now a new alert, and you've got hundreds of thousands of people who are getting this alert. It's been a problem for years, maybe in their car. There was just no notification for it. So that's why it all of a sudden seems like this big, huge issue is it has been an issue, and it's just compounded over the years, and now there's a notification letting you know. Does that make sense?
Yes, and this is so interesting. Did you say you currently have that message popping up, Tori?
In my new or in the Model X that I had as a loaner, it did pop up after the first about month that I had it.
Okay. Because Gary Vita has a suggestion here, and I'm dying to know if this will work. I fixed mine with a spatula and microfiber cloth.
I could see where a thin metal spatula.
Instead of the 15-minute disassembly, you pry the gasket slightly with a spatula so that you can get a cloth in there to clean out your spider web or other residue that's impeding the camera.
Hey, that might be worth trying it on a video, of course.
That's why I was asking if you have that, because I know you, and I know you're dying to get your tools out, and you're going to fix it anyway. So since you're going to fix it anyway, will you try Gary Vita's spatula trick first and video it?
Yeah, I'll try that. The comment above Gary Vita's, Joseph Moncole, says, my wife took ours to a professional detailer and they were able to handle it. So that's another thing. There's probably people who clean Teslas who are used to this, and they're like, yeah, we'll pop that off. It's an Allen wrench. That would be my only hesitation on the spatula is I want it to remain a good seal.
I know. But that's
it, so, and it's a hex. It's just one bolt.
Although I haven't even explored this. I don't know how sketchy that is, but it's interesting. Sometimes there's shortcuts with things that you would never think about. So,
yeah.
Yep. So, well, great. Again, there's a lot more posts or comments here, 91 comments on this post. So, everybody go jump in and read through that if you have more questions. But, that wraps up these five posts, Tori. Any parting comments before we come to an end here?
Yeah, check out our YouTube page. We have a lot of really good videos there. We, not too long ago, we had our most viewed video with over 40,000 views for how to do car wash mode without panicking. And a lot of people have appreciated that. If you're watching this, you probably are like, heck yeah, that resonates with me. I pulled up to a car wash and freaked out because I didn't know what to do. This is a great video. And there's more. We're consistently adding great how-to videos. So go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@TeslaTipsAndTricks. And subscribe, watch a video, like, and I think that you'll appreciate getting our updates.
Yep. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much, as always, Tori, and we'll see everybody on the next episode. Thanks for listening and or watching. See you next time.